Joining us now in studio, we have a couple of guests, Betsy Spethman and Jim Rossow. Thank you two so much for coming in today.
Thanks for inviting us.
Let's get a little background on you. First of all, you're a couple.
Yes, we're married. We have two adult children, and our son, who is an adult, has multiple disabilities. And so that's a really important thing for our family, and we know a lot of other families in the community who also have a family member with disabilities.
Now, how old is your son?
Our son is in his mid-20s. One of the things that we'll have an opportunity to talk about a little bit this morning, Jeff, is the difference for services for kids with disabilities and developmental disabilities, and then what happens when young adults reach 21.
Now, we should I should mention right off the top that we have talked with you before, Betsy, as in your position as a hospital. Is it it's not a spokesperson.
No, I am here speaking today
only for yourself.
Yes. So I am not speaking on behalf of any organization.
Well, you recently, this past week, you wrote an article, a letter to the editor, to the Northfield, it was published in the Northfield News, about the services that are available to people with disabilities. And it's not, first of all, when we think, I think Northfielders think of that, we think of Laura Baker Services Association, because they are the largest provider for people with disabilities. And your point was not that they do a bad job, that they do a very good job. It's just there's so many needs out there. Explain the needs and the misconceptions that people might have.
Yeah, and Laura Baker is an excellent organization, and our community is incredibly lucky to have it. Laura Baker provides wonderful services for the people that it serves, but it simply isn't enough. There isn't enough service, and Laura Baker can't meet all of the need. And I think one of the unfortunate pieces when people think about disability services in Northfield and they only think about Laura Baker, they assume that everything's fine. And there are some misconceptions about services that people make assumptions about. And I think one of the first things that people assume is that, you know, the kids are all right. People think that young adults with disabilities and developmental disabilities, once they become young adults, they automatically get placed somewhere. But the truth is that once kids with disabilities hit 21 and they age out of the school system, there's a cliff there. There is a cliff on services and direction and support, and families are on their own. There's a saying, Jeff, that kids who finish high school go to college or go to work, and kids with disabilities go home to their bedrooms. And unfortunately, there's a lot of that rings true. And for many families here in Northfield, families are struggling with that. And many of them, one parent quits work to take care of the adult child and create opportunities for that child. So that first misperception that everything's fine, I think a lot of people don't realize that it's not. The second misperception, I think, is that people think that the solution is employment. But it isn't. The real solution for young adults with disabilities is engagement. And that means meaningful activity and connection to people. But unfortunately, in our culture, we sort of think that jobs is the only path to do that. And so families often get backed into a kind of a forced entrepreneurism by creating opportunities for their young adult who doesn't fit into a traditional job model. So you'll see families setting up a young adult with their own business doing lawn care or a delivery service or an egg business. And good things can come from that, like Art Makers, which is the production company that Jim has set up with our son. And they do storytelling and music and puppetry and more, built around the idea of people with disabilities and people without disabilities coming together to create art to have that meaningful engagement.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Are there any other misconceptions? First of all, should we air these all out and kind of get that on the table before we kind of move into? I've got a couple of questions for Jim.
Yes, that'd be great if I can just make a few more points, because I think Art Makers is a really nice piece of sort of possible solutions. And so the hard part about families, relying on families to set up opportunities, is that, and then it relies on the parents to run it. But then what happens when the parents are no longer there? So that's part of the problem there.
Yeah.
And then that last sort of misperception I think we have in our culture is that it's about that, that when we think about individuals in our community, we think about launching people to independence.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about independence. And our culture assumes that the basic goal for each of us is independence, but it's just not true. We each depend on others. And so as we think about families, we sort of assume that we raise kids and then we launch them to take care of themselves. And by extension, people assume that for people who can't take care of themselves, that they just need to be propped up a little bit more until they can stand on their own. But it's not true. There are people who will need a lifetime of care. And I think that one of the biggest parts where the disability community and the broader community come together is that our whole culture would do better if we thought about graceful interdependence rather than promoting independence, because independence really is just another word for alone.
All right, let's, Jim, I want to get you involved with some of the solutions. You mentioned you have started an arts. Is it a program? Is it a company? Tell us about that.
Well, Art Makers is an adaptive arts program and company.
Okay.
And we do a wide range of arts activities during the day, and where we connect up people with disabilities with people from the general community and artists from the general community, and we work on artistic activities together. We're a very process-oriented company in that it, with a theater production, for example, it's way more important to us to have a really good, long, and rich development process of a performance piece and a rehearsal process and a process where everybody's involved, as opposed to working really hard to get a production up, and it's all about the production. For us, it's all about the process of getting to the production. So we'll work on something for months and then maybe do a weekend of performances and then start another program.
Now, is it just for the performing arts? Is it for visual arts? Is it for any other type of arts form? Or?
Well, actually, we've done a number of art forms over the years, and we try to create our programming based on the interests of the individuals that are involved in the program at the time. And that's both the individuals with the disabilities and the individuals from the community that are coming in, so that, you know, everyone is working on things they enjoy to do. And we try to do things that that are of a benefit in a larger sense. So right now, for example, we're working on two primary shows, one of which is a gospel show about Fanny Crosby, who was a blind woman in the 19th century that wrote 8,000 gospel songs and many poetry books, and was the first woman to address the Joint Houses of Congress in D.C. So, and people don't know who she is, and so we're doing sort of an advocacy piece, a disabled artist advocacy piece, based on the life of Fanny Crosby, using all of her gospel, a lot of her, not all of it, but probably about 15 or so of her gospel songs. And so as an advocacy piece, that has value. And another program that we're working on is a program called Remember Radio, and it's it takes the radio programming and formatting from the 30s and 40s, the golden age of radio, and repackaging it a little bit, and then producing it as a memory care sort of programming, so that we there are components of it that are live DJs, and components of it that are sort of presenting things like The Shadow and Father Knows Best and 20 Mule Team Board. I mean, of all the things that, you know, we remember, the jingles, the commercial jingles, for example.
Yeah.
And so we're using that program as, you know, give back to the community in memory care, because we certainly have a large population in Northfield working in that direction.
Let's continue on with about, you know, some possible solutions. Is this... this problem, this is not a Northfield-specific problem by any means. As a matter of fact, Northfielders probably have a little more availability as far as services go than a lot of communities do. Is this, so it's wider than a local problem? Is it a state? Do answers come from the state? Do we need more state investment? Do we need more national investment? Do we need to change conversations? What do we need to do overall? Is it all the above?
Well, thank you, Jeff. Actually, it is all three of those okay. are ways to proceed. And when I look at you know, what I would like to encourage people to think about is certainly there is initially, I think there's a reframing of the conversation about it. You know, right now the conversation in disability services is all about employment and independence. And so a good thing to do is start thinking it additionally. You know, when I talk to people about why their loved ones, why it's important to have a job, for example, they'll say, well, because they like the people there. But that's really not the employment, that's the engagement. And then I'll say, well, they really feel like they're contributing, that they're doing something. Well, you know, that's, you know, there's the fulfillment capacity and the engagement capacity and the enrichment capacity. So all of the things that they're really looking for, you know, they're trying to get through a job. So, you know, the old saying, you know, get a life. So rather than having the conversation for what people with disabilities, you know, would do well having more of, rather than being more jobs, the whole notion of get a life. And reframing that conversation in our heads does something very specific for us. If you look at the conversation about giving people jobs, it's really easy to say, well, I don't have a job for anyone. But if you think about it in terms of creating opportunities for engagement and enrichment, for example, one of the programs that ArtMakers is running right now is a book club. And the book club, you know, we're reading the book both in Braille and in print. Now, participating in a book club is something that people can do. They don't have to have a job, but they can provide engagement because engagement with people is what's important, and the validation that we get from that. You know, all kinds of opportunities for engagement. And that's really what so many people are looking for when they talk about jobs. If we don't call what we're looking for the right thing, you know, we're never really going to find it. Because what people seem to be looking for is that sense of engagement, a sense of enrichment, a sense of fulfillment and validation. And those are really something very different than jobs.
We're talking once again with Jim Rosso and Betsy Spethman, and we're talking about services for people who have disabilities. As you'd mentioned, your son is in his mid-20s now, so you have been kind of immersed in this for about 20-some years now. Have you seen change? Have you seen progress? Obviously, because we're here talking about it, it's not enough if you have, but as a society, are we kind of moving in directions?
So I think that there are a couple of things that make me optimistic for our society and for Northfield specifically. And one of those is the level of community commitment to caring for each other. And we see that in things like HCI, which brings the community together to provide and support youth and children. We see that in the effort now to do age-friendly Northfield to support our seniors, and then local efforts to support immigrants as well. So I think that sense of community is an advantage that we have, and I think that there's an opportunity here to take that even further for people with disabilities.
Yeah, I think that there's no reason that we shouldn't have some sort of, you know, community-based organization, program, sensibility that helps look after people with disabilities, sort of like a guardians council, where there's a community based initiative that works to assure these things, just like there's HCI that take care, you know, so that the community can come together and it's not just all put on the shoulders of one not-for-profit.
And we're going to take a couple more minutes here. We're going into Wayne's show. We apologize to Wayne, but we want to continue to talk about this and kind of wrap this up. Should there be as far as local government goes, you had mentioned maybe a nonprofit. Should there be an arm of the government that handles this specifically, or an organization within our local government?
I think the way that we've seen it work well in our community, uh-huh. and if we look at examples like HCI and the Age Friendly Northfield effort, it's about a number of different organizations and individuals mm-hmm. and government entities coming together around one purpose and one mission. So if there was an opportunity here to bring interested parties together, whether they are individual or the faith community or government organizations and nonprofits and, you know, families that want to participate, there's a real opportunity to create a resource that's a sort of a hub where people can say, this is what I have to offer. I would mm-hmm. like to be part of a book club, or I'm a musician. I'd like to be able to you know, jam with other musicians, whether they are people with disabilities or not. So if there's a council of guardians that could sort of bring those resources together, find the need, and then match people up, we've seen that work really well in our community. And the benefit of that kind of dynamic is the community then is reaching out to families in need rather than waiting for those families to reach out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a network of
yes.
people that...
Yes.
And I think it's important that it is a community initiative and a community network. One of the difficulties, certainly, with leaning too hard on the government structures is then there's the constraints of government mm-hmm. regulations and the constant changing that they do of their guidelines and the rules and regulations. It's real mm-hmm. easy. One could spend years setting up according to the regulations, and then one day, you know, the Department of Human Services decides they're going to change regulations, and then there goes everything. So
yeah.
while all, you know, the government, you know, the county and all, as a active partner, certainly. But I think the notion of it having a community-specific, community-based sort of endeavor is probably in the long run. You know, for us, Northfield is such a wonderful community, and I keep thinking of, you know, Northfield is definitely the place where I want, you know, my son to live and be part of that community.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we get it so that Northfield, as the community, you know, has a little bit more involvement in his world, in his life, other mm-hmm. than, you know, what I have to go hustle for every...
Sure. Boy, wow. It's So where do we go to from here? What's the next step? Are we going to put together one of those organizations?
We are, Jeff. Check your calendar.
All right.
Actually, Jim and I have been talking about uh-huh. Hosting a community conversation
mm-hmm.
about creating a council of guardians, and that's something that we would like to be able to do in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We want to invite everybody. Everybody is invited to come, and anybody who is interested in that, we welcome to come and hear more about what the need is, talk about what they have to offer. And people don't need to know what the answer is in order to raise their hand and say, I'd like to be involved.
Yeah, and people don't necessarily need to know how they're going to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the process that we use at Art Makers all the time is sort of an exploratory process for, so what is it that you like to do? What is it that you know, are talented in? What are you passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
And then try to match those things up together. So we are hoping through Art Makers to set up and start working on this conversation and creating something to that effect. And we're looking to do that in fall. And we can be reached, Art Makers can be reached, at both on Facebook, and that's Art Makers, all one word.
Okay.
Or on Gmail, artmakers.mn@gmail.com.
All
and
right.
So if anybody's interested, they can certainly drop us a line on either one of those outlets, and we will get back to people. And, you know, like I say, we're looking to set up a date to kick this conversation off in fall.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to having you back when you do that. You're always welcome here. If there's anything we can do here at KYMN Radio, let us know. Our
we'll
door is always open.
Oh, we will.
I figured you would, and you're more than welcome to. Thank you both for
Thank
coming
you,
in. We
Thank
certainly
you,
appreciate
you
that,
us.
And best of luck with that. Keep us abreast of what's going on, and we'll get the word out for
Sounds
you.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you.
That's Jim Rosso and Betsy Spethman. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota.